got a spring.
Welcome to another edition of Hey Doc. I'm Dr. Harold Lasky, medical director and physician at Southside Medical Center, right here in Jacksonville, Florida. I'm your host for the next half hour. With me today is my co-host and wife, Carmen Lasky, a certified EMT. Together, we hope that you will find the show informative, educational, as well as entertaining.
Pfizer has already seen major success with its COVID-19 vaccine, but now the company is hoping to add to its arsenal with a pandemic pill using old antiviral technology.
Pfizer said it has kickstarted a new early-stage U.S. trial of an oral anti-COVID-19 medicine right now, known only as PF07321332, which should be given to patients as soon as they see signs of infection.
The theory is that this will dampen the virus's ability to cause severe disease or death.
Current antibody drugs from Eli Lilly and Regeneron are given throughout infusion and have struggled to reach enough patients, with new variants also causing concern that they can outrun some of the original antibodies.
But as we said, Pfizer is using an older, tried and tested method. What Pfizer is doing is using what is called a protease inhibitor that has been used for many years against a range of infections, including HIV and hepatitis C.
The hope is this drug will be able to hit back at the virus and with few side effects. After all, researchers already have many years worth of data on this technology.
It can also be prescribed and taken outside of an infusion clinic or a hospital, as the current crop of antibody drugs have to be. Both Merck and its partner Ridgeback have molnupiravir, while Roche and Atea Pharmaceuticals are working on the antiviral AT527. Unfortunately, drugs against the virus have, however, not in the past done very well in testing. There have been many failures and setbacks for over the past year, slowing the attempts for a knockout vaccine therapeutic approach to stop the virus in its tracks and prevent those with the disease from getting very sick.
Apart from the pill, which would be wonderful if it was found to be efficacious, Pfizer is also working on a study using an intravenously administered antiviral candidate for hospitalized COVID-19 patients. Many of us during this year-long pandemic have had to learn to live a different life. We have become teachers to our children who no longer go to school, camp, all those extracurricular activities that so many look forward to in the times prior to the pandemic.
The effects of loneliness has affected us all, especially the children and the elderly, some in nursing homes who have not been able to see their relatives or friends in person for months. This has certainly taken a toll on many people, a toll that we may not be able to reverse in the coming months and years.
Many who have been in that isolation have turned to the internet and social media to combat it, although it is not always successful.
Unfortunately, many have been taken advantage of by unscrupulous vipers on the internet who have been trying to, and successfully, cashing in on that loneliness. An article recently showed that neo-Nazism and Holocaust deniers have been increasing their presence on the internet in England, with one-fifth of the English population now purported to be more Nazi-leaning than ever before. Imagine a country who was almost overthrown in World War II by a malevolent Nazi regime becoming more pro-Nazi in our time.
It is not only the political, neopolitical, and social teams that are being hawked on the internet in increasing numbers, but the medical teams as well.
While many products have for a long time been sold on the internet to people suffering from bunches of maladies, some that may work to some degree and most that just separate you from your money, the number of people succumbing to these commercials has skyrocketed as more and more people have begun to use the internet to get a hold of their loneliness.
Many people with medical problems and pain who have not been able to contact their physicians or other healthcare workers to treat their ills have now begun to rely more and more on what they hear on the internet.
I spent several hours during the past week listening to just a few of these commercials on the internet. You know, I was just amazed to hear commercials lasting not just 15 or 30 seconds or even a minute, now capturing their audience for periods of 15 minutes and more in the hopes that they'll be able to convince people that their product is the one that will alleviate their worst pain, best lower their weight, or make those who are depressed happy again. And boy, can they sound convincing. Years ago, when I was in college, I was part of a debate team competition. Now, we were a group of four students who would come against debate teams from other schools. A topic would be chosen, and we would literally toss a coin for which side we would debate on. Now, that is whether we would go for or against on that particular topic. And both sides, they do good. Each side would be able to come up with good, solid reasons to convince the judges that their side was right.
It is not hard to do. And today's internet chatmen often are well-versed in using convincing words that still keep them out of trouble with authorities.
For example, they may intersperse words that I call stop words and other words that I categorize as down-regulating words or phrases. Now, for example, my favorite stop words are but and however. Now, these can be used in any number of discussions. You can write a book of 300 pages and cancel everything you said with the simple use of that one word, but. Now, we'll get back to that in a minute.
Some of the down-regulator words or phrases include maybe, could, possibly, conceivably, favorably, and numerous others. I am sure that you can think of many that can be used in this context in English.
Let me give you an example of the use of the word but. He was such a nice boy, always helping the elderly, even bringing food to that old lady next door who had a hard time getting out of bed.
But who would have thought that he would have harbored such terrible ideas that caused him to kill all those people with apparently no real rational reason.
And as an example of a down regulator, what let's look at could in the fantasy ad for a new pain relief product that is over the counter.
Yes, Flubber One, a new medication that when rubbed on your left index finger could, after just about 2 weeks, relieve all your body pains. Notice I say could, although many people hearing that ad might assume that I said will relieve those pains. Now, after listening to dozens of internet spiels, I came across one about a miraculous treatment for neuropathy. By the way, I love that word spiel as used in the sentence. I listened to the salesman spiel, but still refused to buy anything.
It simply means to utter, express, or describe loudly or extravagantly. Maybe a better word would be pitch.
Anyway, it appears that many people have been having increased symptoms of neuropathy since the pandemic started. Perhaps it's due to our inactivity, or maybe just our noticing the symptoms more as we stay home by ourselves. In particular, we will concentrate on peripheral neuropathy.
Word neuropathy generally refers to any type of pain that involves the nerves. It is often referred to as neuralgia or neuritis.
However, peripheral neuropathy is that subdivision of neuropathy that results from damage to the nerves outside of the brain and the spinal cord, which are called the peripheral nerves.
This disease often causes weakness, numbness, and pain, usually in your hands and feet, but it can also affect other areas of your body.
It usually results from nerve degeneration, pressure, inflammation, or infection. Now, there are several causes of neuropathy, including carpal tunnel syndrome, pinched nerves, spinal stenosis, and pressure from spinal discs. Your peripheral nervous system works in two directions. First, we have the nerves that send information from your brain and spinal cord to the rest of your body. And then we have the peripheral nerves that work in the other direction by sending sensory information to the central nervous system, that is the brain and spinal cord.
There are a lot of causes of peripheral neuropathy, which can be due to injuries, infections, metabolic problems, inherited causes, and exposure to toxins.
One of the most common causes is diabetes. And this becomes quite a problem, as statistics show that in the United States alone, more than 100 million U.S. adults are now living with diabetes or pre-diabetes.
In fact, the CDC report finds that as of 2015, over 30 million Americans, which ends up being almost 10% of our population, had diabetes, with around 88 million with pre-diabetes.
It goes to say that neuropathy is a growing problem. So to paraphrase the famous J.G. Wentworth ad,
I have a structured settlement, but I need cash now.
Call J.G. Wentworth.
Well, you heard it says, I have a structured settlement and I need cash now. But I say, we have peripheral neuropathy and we need a cure now. It can be a miserable life living with peripheral neuropathy. For many, the present prescription medicines simply don't offer enough relief. And in the back of the minds of many with this pain, suicide can be prevalent.
People with peripheral neuropathy generally describe the pain as stabbing, burning, or tingling.
In some cases, symptoms improve, especially if caused by a treatable condition. In other words, treat the underlying problem and you permanently relieve the pain. And before the end of the show, we will talk about some of the treatments being used by those whose underlying problems cannot be adequately treated.
Remember that every single nerve in your peripheral system has a specific function, so symptoms depend on the type of nerves affected.
Even your blood vessels have nerves that signal the brain to either constrict the blood vessel's lumen or widen it. It often does this to control blood pressure. Now, we briefly said that sensory nerves receive sensations. These include temperature, pain, and vibration or touch from the skin. There are also motor nerves that control muscle movement.
Right now, bend your middle finger. Now, straighten it up. Several nerve impulses course through your body to your brain at this point.
First of all, you told your brain to send a signal to your middle finger. So what happened next? Watch your hand as your middle finger bends. First, the finger starts to curve down towards the palm. Thus, muscles in the palm side connecting each of the three bones in your finger contract, pulling your finger inwards. Then, likely several other fingers get into the act, and finally, the fingers all bend down into the palm. But that's not all. Muscles on the back side of the fingers have to relax at the same time, allowing those flexor muscles on the palm side of the hand to contract. Try to prevent your third finger from straightening out now.
You can feel those muscles on back of the finger straining to contract, and again, this time, the muscles on the palm of the hand must relax. At the same time, again, allowing those other muscles to stretch out the finger.
There are also autonomous nerves that control functions such as blood pressure, heart rate, digestion, and the bladder. They're called autonomous since they work automatically. You really don't have to think about your heart beating or even breathing for the most part, although breathing can be voluntary as well as autonomic.
The signs and symptoms of peripheral neuropathy might include a gradual onset of numbness, a prickling or tingling feeling in either your feet or hands, which can spread upward into your legs and arms.
It may just start in one part of the extremity, like in the fingers of your left hand or the tips of your toes. The pain can be sharp, jabbing, throbbing, or burning. There may even be extreme sensitivity to touch.
You may start to notice pain during activities that shouldn't cause pain, such as pain in your feet when putting weight on them, or when they are under a blanket.
You may also notice a decrease or lack of coordination and increased falling. It might just be muscle weakness, which you may be thinking is just due to your getting older. Sometimes people have described it as a feeling like you're wearing gloves or socks when you're not. In some cases, paralysis occurs if the motor nerves themselves are affected.
The symptoms may be different, of course, if the autonomic nerves are involved. If this is the case, then the signs and symptoms might include heat intolerance, excessive sweating, or not being able to sweat, bowel, bladder, or digestive problems, or even changes in blood pressure, causing dizziness or lightheadedness.
One example of a peripheral neuropathy is carpal tunnel syndrome. Again, peripheral neuropathy is nerve damage caused by a number of conditions. Other causes that I've not mentioned yet include the autoimmune diseases like Sjogren's syndrome, lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, Guillain-Barré syndrome, chronic inflammatory demyelinating polyneuropathy, and vasculitis.
We have already mentioned diabetes, where more than half the people with diabetes develop some type of neuropathy.
Certain viral or bacterial infections can be associated with peripheral neuropathy, such as Lyme's disease, shingles, Epstein-Barr virus, hepatitis B and C, as well as leprosy, diphtheria, and HIV.
There are also inherited disorders, as well as tumors, both cancerous and non-cancerous, which can develop on the nerves or press on nerves, causing neuropathies. Some bone marrow disorders, such as a form of bone cancer called myeloma, lymphoma, and amyloidosis, cause neuropathy.
Again, there are a much larger group that can cause neuropathy, such as kidney and liver disease, connective tissue disorders, as well as an underactive thyroid.
The list goes on and on to include alcoholism, where poor dietary choices can lead to vitamin deficiencies. Even exposure to poisons such as industrial chemicals and heavy metals such as lead and mercury can lead to neuropathies.
Chemotherapy used to treat certain cancers can cause peripheral neuropathy. Then we have vitamin deficiencies, especially the B vitamins, including B1, B6, and B12, as well as vitamin E and niacin, and these are crucial to nerve health. Some of the things that you can do to help prevent peripheral neuropathies may include eating a diet rich in fruits, vegetables, whole grains, and lean protein to keep the nerves healthy.
You should also protect against vitamin B12 deficiency by eating meats, fish, eggs, low-fat dairy foods, and fortified cereals. If you are vegetarian or vegan, fortified cereals are a good source of vitamin B12, but you may need B12 supplements, so talk to your healthcare provider.
You can exercise at least 30 minutes to 1 hour, at least 3 times a week if your doctor approves of it. But these are things that you have probably heard of before. There are also prescription drugs like gabapentin, Lyrica, that have been prescribed for those with peripheral neuropathy, but do not work for everyone and, in fact, may have some serious side effects as well.
It is no wonder that so many have turned to the internet seeking a cheaper, safer, and more reliable cure for peripheral neuropathy.
Now, this is where the latest internet advertisement campaign comes in that I listen to. It concerns a pill that contains some natural ingredients and vitamins. It also includes some other natural ingredients that most of us have never heard of. Now, these include thioctin root, methylcobalamin, cholecalciferol, folic acid, and benfuchamine. So I decided to look up these ingredients on a more knowledgeable source by going to scholar.google.com. More on that in a moment.
This is a great time to tell you about Southside Medical Center. Hello, I'm Dr. Harold Lasky. I have been the medical director and physician at Southside Medical Center for the past 34 years. We're located at 3604 Southside Boulevard, just 2 blocks south of the Beach Boulevard intersection between the Tulsa Welding School and the old Pottsburg Post Office. We will treat your pains, sprains, and strains.
We are proud to welcome to Southside Medical Center Dr. Susan Pollan, MD, a board-certified pain specialist.
Our practice emphasizes chronic pain management as well as anti-aging medicine. We also have an office-based substance treatment program for those who need it. Southside Medical Center is open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. If you would like to make an appointment or ask any questions about Southside Medical Center, please call us at 641-4411. That's 641-4411. Southside Medical Center, where your health is our primary care. Welcome back to the Hey Doc Show.
Before the break, I mentioned a source, a fairly new part of Google, which supposedly provides a new method of locating potentially relevant articles on any given subject by identifying subsequent articles that cite previously published articles. It goes on to say that an important feature of Google Scholar is that researchers can use it to trace interconnections among authors citing articles on a particular topic and to determine the frequency with which others cite a specific article. So I decided to avail myself of this source of information. Perhaps it's more reliable than the rest of Google or other search engines that we're all familiar with.
The first article was titled Alpha Lipoic Acid for Symptomatic Peripheral Neuropathy in Patients with Diabetes, a Meta-Analysis of Randomized Controlled Trials.
It was first published in the International Journal of Endocrinology in June of 2012.
It starts by saying in its introduction that neuropathy is a microvascular complication of diabetes mellitus, which leads to considerable morbidity and a decreased quality of life.
It goes on to say that neuropathic pain is difficult to treat and standard analgesics are usually not effective enough with the medications which are currently used to treat neuropathic pain in patients with diabetes, being mainly the antidepressants, the antiepileptics, and the opioids.
The study searched 354 publications using randomized placebo-controlled trials on alpha-lipoic acid in patients with diabetic neuropathic pain.
So after reading thousands of words describing the way the studies were done, we're going to now give you the final results of these studies according to the researchers. It was generally an overview of the studies with alpha-lipoic acid used in the treatment of persons with symptomatic peripheral diabetic neuropathy. And now, drum roll, please. A significant improvement in the total symptom score, or TSS, was reported in all the studies. In these studies, an average 50% reduction was seen in the TSS with the oral or intravenous administration of at least 600 milligrams per day.
The side effects seen with dosage of 600 milligrams per day or less were no different than seen with placebo, and a safety analysis of treatment with alpha-lipoic acid over 4 years in diabetic polyneuropathy showed that treatment tolerability and discontinuation due to lack of tolerability did not differ between placebo and treatment group.
So the final conclusion was, and this is in their own words, quote, "Based on the randomized placebo-controlled studies included here, there is evidence to support that alpha-lipoic acid causes a significant and clinically relevant decrease in neuropathic pain when administered for a period of 3 weeks at a dosage of 600 milligrams per day." Now, that's food for thought. We're going to go over one more of the substances that I mentioned, thioctin root. Now, first of all, upon searching for thioctin root, there were just no articles that even mentioned this particular term. None. Zero. Zilch. So I looked up alpha-lipoic acid, whose common name is thioctin, and found an article titled "Efficacy of Alpha-Lipoic Acid in Diabetic Neuropathy," written by Nikolaos Papanas and Dan Ziegler, which also started with an explanation of neuropathy as a serious disease.
They stated that the objective of their review was the assessment of efficacy and safety of alpha-lipoic acid in the treatment of diabetic neuropathy.
They said that there is ample evidence from randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled clinical trials and what they call meta-analysis suggesting that alpha-lipoic acid, or ALA, is efficacious and safe for the diabetic neuropathy, accomplishing clinically significant improvements. According to them, when compared with currently licensed analgesic drugs, it's better tolerated, has more rapid onset of action, and improves paresthesia, numbness, sensory deficits, as well as muscle strength, in addition to helping improve the neuropathic pain. Now, they, of course, also cited several other articles that agreed with their conclusions. Now, alpha-lipoic acid is found in a variety of foods, especially yeast and liver, and also spinach, broccoli, potatoes, skeletal muscle, and organ meats, like the heart and kidney, which are also good sources. Now, in veterinary medicine, it's used to treat diabetic polyneuropathy, cataracts, glaucoma, and ischemia reperfusion injury. Alpha-lipoic acid, unfortunately, can also cause some side effects, which include vomiting, ataxia, hypersalivation, tremors, and hypoglycemia, meaning the blood sugar level goes down. But no mention is made in the article of the effect in humans. Nevertheless, you got to be careful.
But lastly, in the scholar.google.com search engine, we did come across another article which did again mention alpha-lipoic acid. The reference is called "Herb-Drug Interactions in Oncology" by Castillet and Lucares, both from Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center in New York, New York.
In this book, the authors mention that patients take alpha-lipoic acid to treat and prevent cancer, as well as diabetic neuropathy and HIV, as well as, again, liver disease. It's mentioned as a potent antioxidant. And although they state there have been no significant adverse effects or drug interactions, clinical data on ALA suggests that it is ineffective for reversing neuropathies or liver disease. So, at least for now, the jury is out as recommending alpha-lipoic acid for the treatment of neuropathic pain.
A good resource was an article in the Journal Open Diabetes Research and Care published in February of 2016, which concluded that treatment with a single intramuscular dose of 600,000 international units of vitamin D in patients with painful diabetic neuropathy is associated with a significant decrease in the symptoms of painful diabetic neuropathy.
And how about folic acid? Although some do state that folic acid may help those with neuropathy, there's another article that states that consuming too much folate, also called vitamin B9, is associated with increased risk for a nerve damage disorder in older adults who have a common genetic variant in an estimated 1 in 6 people in the United States.
I'd like you, our listeners, to know that I am one of several physicians right here in the Jacksonville area that has received the certification to recommend medical marijuana to those patients with certain qualifying diagnoses. For more information, you can call our office at 641-4411. We have also set up a special website at CompassionateCareJax.com where you can get a whole lot more information on medical marijuana. We've come to the end of another Hey Doc show.
So, from all of us here at Southside Medical Center, have a happy and healthy weekend. Goodbye.